Hey, welcome to episode 95 of the Hockey Free For All podcast. I am your host, Steven Stiles, and what an amazing season. There is just such a variety of topics to talk about, both within the game and just a bunch of bizarre topics about the game. Just as far as what people think about players and things like that, apparently there is now some concern that Caden Gooley is going to be switched to the right side of Montreal's defense permanently because of existing concerns that are apparently out there. I just cannot wrap my head around the just immediate go to chaos, drama. I don't know what happens in these people's minds. I really don't. Just because Gooley's at right defense for a couple of games could be, let's see what he can do. Let's see his versatility. Let's see if he can play it as well and effectively. Change up his partner. Could be due to an injury. The reasons are limitless. Why are people just, oh my God, this is horrible. This is going to screw Caden Gooley's career up. This just can't be. And you're like, really? Take a pill, have a cup of tea, drink a glass of water. I don't know. Do some yoga or something. Whatever helps you relax. This is just nuts. I mean, honestly, are there people that only get out once in a while, live under some rock, have no access to media, and like the moment they come out, they're like, holy crap, I've never been exposed to this. I guess I have to go insane. I just don't get the reaction, behavior, or just all out drama. Oh my God, the world is ending. We're raining cats and dogs and everything's coming down. I'm about to be crushed. I just cannot figure out. It's like, take it slow, look at the situation, evaluate it rationally, give it some thought, and move on. Seriously, again, don't forget what the Canadians are doing right now. They're in a rebuild. They are looking at and evaluating and have the luxury of trying all kinds of things that organizations generally don't have time for, other than maybe in their AHL franchise, maybe in the preseason or rookie camps. They have that opportunity right now. Now, they're not going to have it forever. Eventually, those opportunities are going to go away. Everything else is going to have to take shape. But in the meantime, enjoy it. You get to see a lot of things that normally you don't see. And if it creates questions in your mind, great. Means you're into it. Means you're actually seeing it. But let things unfold and stop with this, like, oh my God, this is catastrophic. The world is coming to an end. I just cannot figure out that reaction. And speaking of defense, again, remember, and we've talked about this many, many times, you have David Savard, Jonathan Kovacevic, Justin Barron, Jordan Harris, Jaden Struble, Arbor Jack Guy, Mike Matheson, Logan Mailou, David Reinbacher, Petteri Nurmi, Miguel Torgany, Bogdan Koshikov, Dmitry Kostenko, Mike Matheson, Lane Hudson. Seriously? Adam Engstrom. It just keeps going. You've got tremendous talent. So you've got the ability of, well, hey, let's see who matches up with who. Let's see who was maybe an unexpected pairing that we didn't know, or who can play an opposite side that we didn't know, and we can put the best together at any given time. But what is with this senseless desire to cause chaos, stress? Oh my God, we have to question this. Not really. It's under control. And speaking of under control, why are there people that are actually already, I mean, I realize, again, going back to the 2023 draft, he was not the player a lot of people wanted selected. Many people wanted either Matvei Michkov or Ryan Leonard or another offensive high-end talent. They chose Reinbacher for a reason. You need stability and reliability on your defense. The kid is still 18 years old. He just finished all of his high school. He just finished playing in the Austrian League. He's now over in Laval and playing for them. And yet, he has not suited up for a single NHL game yet. And everybody's like, he's a draft bust. He's no good. I knew it was the wrong pick. Really? Are there like fortune tellers out there? People got crystal balls for free one Christmas and they put them all to use and they can now tell the future? I mean, if you can do things like that, do yourself a favor, win the lottery. The hell with anything else. Win yourself a lottery, retire to your dream place or environment, wherever that is, and be done with it all. Who cares about anything else? But how is it even remotely possible to write off David Reinbacher? As well as the fact, and I love this too, that a lot of people would say, God, I wish the Canadians knew how to develop players. I wish they'd stop rushing people to the NHL. I wish they would draft players that could actually become NHL players. Wow. They're taking their time with David Reinbacher and Lane Hutson. They're not rushing them to the NHL. They've got one of, if not the best, player development staffs in the game, led by Adam Nichols. They have a good coaching staff in Laval, who, if you've noticed, in the last 18 months, which is roughly the last season and a half by the time this one's over with, when players are called up, they actually look like they're NHL ready, that they can come in, seamlessly fit into the team, not stand out and look totally lost like a deer in the headlight look. Everything that people have wanted is happening, and now everybody's like, oh, we need to see David Reinbacher and Lane Hutson prospect in a Montreal uniform by the end of the season. No, actually you don't. What you need to see is the players when they're ready so that it doesn't adversely affect their career. They don't look out of place in the lineup. They don't just get crushed physically or mentally in the NHL because there is no other league tougher in the world to play hockey in. You want them ready. You want them to be ready to light it up, compete, be on an even playing keel, play to their potential and beyond, and make a dramatic difference on the roster. That's how players are being brought up in the Canadiens organization. Seems to be, according to a lot of people's opinions, beliefs, and comments, what a lot of people have just been dying to see happen since the days of the Nova Scotia Voyagers, Sam Pollock, and Scotty Bowman. It's been that long since that's consistently happened. And now it's happening again. And now you've got this, I don't know if it's the instant gratification thing, the entitlement thing, the me. Hate to lie to those people. None of you are none of that even remotely count is relevant in the world. It's about what's right for the organization, what's right for the players, and what builds a perennial championship. It's not about people's individual patience. It's not about their way or what they want. Somebody's lied to somebody or a lot of people because none of that matters. But the outright cluelessness and desire to just write people off is just, I don't know what word really describes that correctly. Incompetent? Stupidity? Ignorance? I mean, somewhere in there lies the answer. I'm not sure where. But it's a complete embarrassment, really, of a person to just come out with that and say, oh, well, this person already is bypassed. They're no longer relevant on the roster. You're like, really? Okay. Hasn't even played a single game, and you're just ready to go, no. Can't bother. And there are other people, again, who have wanted to do things like trade Arbor Jacki. Oh, well, this is his highest value, and he'll never be worth more. Who or what are you going to get in return that will mean that much and have that much of an impact on the team with him? He's basically, to take a term from another industry, what's called a cooler. He keeps everybody in line. He keeps the opposition from taking liberties. And on top of all that, which seems to be the focus for some reason with people, it's like, oh, he's just an enforcer. No, not really. He's a hell of a team player. Not only does he have his co-players' backs, but the guy can skate, can transition, has a first pass, and just a blistering cannon of a shot on the point. That is a rare combination of talent that you do not just sit there and go, oh yeah, we're going to trade that. I don't know what you could get of equal value. I don't think you can. I mean, unless you can land Leon Draisaitl or Connor McDavid, keep it. I mean, from an all-around value to a team, and quite honestly, like I've been calling him since he started, he is the MVP of that roster. He is the ultimate team player in every way. And by the way, on a roster with many negative plus minus statistics, he has a plus five. And here's a name that's hardly ever mentioned that a lot of people are like, oh yeah, this guy's just an extra. Don't forget about Jonathan Kovacevic with his 6'5", 223-pound frame, leads the Canadiens with a plus nine. And he and Jacki have put together very nice seasons, especially when you see some of the negative numbers that are on the roster in the plus minus categories. Even though Mike Matheson has been a great offensive presence, love his skating, very valuable to the team as a leader, as a mentor, many different roles, hanging in there with a negative 27 right now, not good. Some of those high negatives need to be turned around really, really quickly. Besides Matheson's negative 27, you got Gallagher sitting there at negative 24, you got Anderson sitting there at negative negative 18, Tanner Pearson sitting there at negative 11, and you've got some players, but for a different reason, such as team captain Nick Suzuki sitting at a negative 14, you've got Slavkovsky sitting at a negative 18, you've got Gouley sitting at a negative 11. Those players are growing. Those players are on the ice for a lot of minutes. Those players are facing the opposition's best every night. It's not due to errors or other issues. So for those three players, in Suzuki, Slavkovsky, and Gouley, I will make exceptions to that because they're learning. When you're young in your career and you're doing different things and you're playing a lot of time, things happen. But over time, those will should be and should become the leaders of the plus side of those statistics. And I want to get into Juraj Slavkovsky as part of this discussion as well, but I'm going to start with Nick Suzuki. For all those people, it's like, oh, you know, Suzuki's not going to have a good season. He's just about on a point per game season, playing the minutes that he does, and every night, and here's the big kicker with him, he's playing against the opposition's best. Name another player that does that every game. There's even ways that Edmonton can switch up Connor McDavid, play him with Draisaitl, play him without. They can get him loose from the other opposition. And I'm not saying that Suzuki's better than McDavid. They're radically different players. But if you look at what Suzuki is facing every night and the list of tasks and requirements on top of it, he's having a hell of a season. I mean, he's already surpassed his best total as of last night with the game against Colorado. But I'm curious to see if he can pull off an actual point per game season and end up with 82 points in 82 games. And if he can't, it's not going to be a letdown. It's going to be an incredible season for him. But I mentioned Juraj Slavkovsky, and I want to get back to Juraj Slavkovsky because there continues to be another group of amazed people that either want to question him or still go, oh, I don't know, the jury's still out. Well, let's look at the number one pick overall in the 2022 NHL entry draft. Let's start with the fact of his rookie season. He played 39 games. He was injured. And prior to coming to the NHL as an 18-year-old, and I have hammered this point as far as few 18-year-olds actually come to the NHL and are that game-breaker, whoa, player right off the bat. Players that come to mind that have done that. Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, you know? Not even Steve Yzerman in his rookie year. And Yzerman was, in my opinion, one of the best centers ever to play the game, especially if you're talking about a complete 200-foot, responsible, can play it any way you want it player. Yzerman was incredible, but he didn't even have that perfect rookie season. There's not a lot of people that do. And what people tend to forget about, back to his rookie season, he only played 39 games, had a major injury, was gone the rest of the year, so he only got 10 points. Prior to that, played in 7 international games, not 70, 7. 7 games and a tournament. Never played in the NHL before. Really? I challenge anybody to sit there and say you could play 7 games and a tournament and be NHL ready as an 18-year-old kid. That is just insane for an expectation. That is just nuts. And the fact that there were people and still are people that say, oh, I'm not sold on him yet. I'm still ready to write him off. I think Montreal picked the wrong guy. There's not many players that come from any league, WHL, OHL, Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, European leagues, that can hit the ice running at 18 years old and have that kind of impact. And Slavkovsky has not only had to adapt from the international to the North American rink, but came from a different part of the world. Everything was different. That's a lot of adjustment for an 18-year-old kid who has finally had a summer after being drafted and played to take a breath, finally had some more development coaching, had some more one-on-one, some more video time, some time to sit back, take in the game, and let the game slow down and come to him, and the shock is worn off. I mean, give the kid a break. The game has just started slowing down for him. Anybody that cannot see the difference in him this year versus last year really's got to be living under a rock. He's learning how to use his skills to his advantage. His skills are growing at the same time. He's learning how to use his frame and discovering that his frame gives him a significant advantage over a lot of players. He can shield the puck. He can play keep away really well. He can hold on to it longer to find an open player. He's seeing the ice better. It is a significant significant turnaround, not just a little one. And he's just scratching his surface. He is just starting to scratch the surface and discover his abilities, his talent. And as they like to say, untapped potential is scary. It's not only impressive, it's scary. But these people that are referring to Juraj Slepkovský as a polarizing figure, what is that supposed to mean? What's polarizing about him? The kid is discovering his game and abilities and is probably even himself sitting there going, wow, all right, cool. I didn't know I could do that, or I didn't know I had that talent in me, or didn't realize that that had already developed. This is great. The kid is loving life. Let him love life. Let him love the game. Let him rise to his abilities. Montreal has not had that kind of player for a long, long time. And it wouldn't be right if I didn't ask this question. I'm wondering where all the people have scattered to that were so unhappy when they announced Slavkovsky's the selection. Oh my God, Montreal should have drafted Shane Wright. Yeah, how's that turned out? How has that turned out? He is not quite the prospect that a lot of people thought, nor is he even remotely as ready as people thought. Had a lot more time in the Ontario Hockey League, was one of the few players given special privileges to be able to play at 15, was being referred to as the first pick overall in his draft 3 years before he was drafted. And I'm not picking on Shane Wright. Again, an 18-year-old kid who needs time to develop. But if anybody can tell me, Shane Wright would have been a better pick for Montreal than Juraj Slepkovský was, we got some different opinions and definitely looking at some different players. But I want to know where those self-appointed executives or self-appointed geniuses disappeared to, because they are nowhere to be found now. Everybody's like, oh, I guess they did draft the right person. Yeah, and that's why, quite honestly, when they drafted Slavkovsky in 2022, it changed. It had a ripple effect on that draft because New Jersey wanted him really, really bad. But to use an old expression from all those people that wanted Shane Wright, I'm hearing crickets now. I'm not hearing a sound. It looks like Jeff Gordon and Ken Hughes once again know what they're doing, which is also an interesting topic to discuss briefly. People want to continue to go, oh, I don't know if Ken Hughes understands the need for fill in the blank, whatever that is. Really? Everything Gordon and Hughes have touched has turned to gold. They've gotten amazing returns on players. A player that they literally took, and I'm just going to pick one out of the past here, the recent past, literally took on because of his salary, so that the team that they took him from could sign other players and get under the salary cap. And of course, I'm talking about Sean Monahan. They ended up with 2 first-round picks for picking up that contract. And there's people that want to question them? Really? Seriously? Now, that being said, I think there are some things that Montreal's missed the boat on, and Josh Anderson comes to mind. Last year, apparently, they had several enormous offers. I wish they would have taken any one of them, because it's just time for Josh Anderson to move on. I got nothing against Anderson. He's a great physical player, 6'3", 227, should be a power forward. He's not. He's having a good defensive year, but a very, very bad offensive year. I wish Montreal would have let him go for one of those offers, because now, instead of wanting multiple first-round picks for him, I think by the time they move him, they'll be lucky to get a second-round pick. That being said, they didn't move him because they saw something in him and wanted him as part of the team. Again, with all the moves that they've made, how do you doubt him? I just don't get what else people want from Jeff Gordon or Ken Hughes. They had a miraculous management tenure so far. They've done a phenomenal job in turning the team around from a lot of question marks, a lot of behavioral issues and management, to now one of a team that truly cares about its players. You look at how they traded Jeff Petrie and other players. When they traded them, they literally traded them home and things like that. They don't have to do things like that. Nobody does. They did. They did a solace, if you will, for the player. That makes a huge impact. They've created an incredible development program. They've created an incredible development staff. They have a general manager that has a unique talent who was a player's agent for 25 plus years that can relate to players and take the whole contract part of things to a different level. He gets the players, they get him. They've worked together on both sides of the equation. That is an incredible advantage for the Canadiens to have a GM. And Jeff Gordon continues to build an amazing organization with, now he's got nutritional people, development people, he's got multiple levels of coaching, he's got mental coaches, he's got had positional coaches, everything. He has been building an amazing franchise for them, and I have no idea how people can still doubt them. That is just beyond the realm of comprehension to me. And speaking beyond the realm of comprehension, what is it with people thinking they're owed an answer about everything? What is it that people think, even on a personal level? And what I'm speaking about here is the emergency departure of head coach Martin St. Louis for a family emergency. That is a need to know only, and the public doesn't need to know. The public is not owed any answers on that. Well, we need to know the inside scoop. No, you don't. No, it's a personal reason. Leave it alone. And what I don't understand with that, people are like, well, I disagree. Well, let's flip it for a second. And if it was your personal issue, your family issue, would you want it all over the place? Would you want people knocking on your door or pushing microphones in your face going, we need to know? You would be incensed. And if you can see it that way, then you can see it the opposite way for anybody else, because of course, nobody on the planet is any more important than anybody else. And I know that's a remark that's got to catch some people off guard, because there's a lot of belief of self-importance, and it's all an enormous lie. People got to get that out of their head. If you would not want something done to you, do not do it or perpetuate it to anyone else or anywhere else. I just cannot understand the, I need to know, we have to have an answer. No, actually you don't. If it's a business thing, if it's a roster thing, fine, they can talk about it. If it's a personal thing, leave it alone. Know your limitations and understand what you're not entitled to. And that's digging into people's personal businesses or incidents that are happening to them and things like that, that nobody else would want done to them. So don't do it to anybody else. For all those people that like to talk about offensive behaviors, that's right up there. How about we wish the coach well? We hope he can return soon. How about that? How about a gesture of humanity? Like, hope everything goes well. Have no idea what the issue is. Just hope it turns out well for you and your family. Or if there has to be some type of focus on something coming up, how about Alex Newhook returning to Colorado for the first time since he's been traded? Make that a focus. But give the man and his family the privacy that they deserve and should be given. On that note, thanks for tuning in to episode 95 of the Hockey Free For All podcast. I'm your host, Steven Stiles. Have a great week.